Hey there, Brendan.
Greetings, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast is going for episode 202. Wow, it sounds weird saying the 200 part. I think it'll take me a little while to get used to that. But we did.
Wait a minute. What happened to episode 201?
That was last week while you were out.
Wait. What?
You were out last week.
I was out last week? No, we did 200, and now this is 201.
No, there was an episode last week because Uday came in and recorded, and you had lost your voice, so we had to give you a break.
That doesn't sound right.
Okay, well, we're going anyway. Great start to 200 more episodes for the Not a Thing podcast. But we're up and rolling. Thank you for everyone that have been listening. Thank you especially to folks that started listening on episode 200. I have a few people that have told me that recently. Not only did they start listening, they're continuing to listen, or at least they've said they're continuing to listen, hopefully.
And just for the record, I do know there was an episode 201. I actually listened to it. You guys did a great job.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it was fun.
It was
having...
weird listening to the podcast.
Yeah,
like, wait, where's my voice? Something's missing.
It was. You were definitely missed. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for getting the podcast to full strength. We are now at fully operational,
armed and operational.
Oh well, we have a lot that's in the fully armed and operational category this week. But we're going to start with sort of an update to a story that we'd talked about a while ago. I believe it was the LAPD used a bomb disposal robot in an unorthodox way. They ended up using it to end a standoff by delivering a bomb and killing the suspect. And we talked about how that was it's probably not a thing, and it probably needs to have a little more investigation, as it's definitely setting precedent about what you can and can't do with unmanned robots and using them for law enforcement. But this week brought another story, again from the LAPD, and again with a bomb disposal robot being used in a standoff, but it was used in a slightly different way. What they did, there was a standoff with someone that was walking around with a shotgun, and they noticed that he would intermittently kind of put it down, but they couldn't approach him when it was down, so they flew a helicopter overhead, which kind of distracted him. And then they sent in the robot very quickly to grab the shotgun and then, roll back to wherever the forward operating base was for the cops. And then the guy had no shotgun and then gave himself up. So no one was killed, thankfully. And I think that's I don't think there's any doubt that that was a warranted use of a robot in law enforcement. I think what it needs is kind of like a laugh track when they go in to pick up the gun. I just think
Benny Hill music.
Right. I think it needs an appropriate music cue for playing back that video. Oddly enough, they did not release the video of it grabbing the shotgun. I feel like that's a missed opportunity to to show off what law enforcement can do in the line of duty in not shooting a suspect.
Yeah, it's always good to see them resolve an issue without using lethal force. Actually, the other robot that was used to blow the guy up was in Dallas during the standoff.
Okay.
So that was Dallas PD. So now this is in LA, our LA County Sheriffs. So it is a use that's spreading.
Yeah.
It's not just in one place. This is now, I guess, part of the arsenal of the police.
Yeah.
but robot. Better to see it used this way.
Yeah, I think it's certainly novel. I mean, I think that, you know, they obviously are using whatever tools that they have available to them. In this way, at least it's not precedent setting, or if it is, it's a fine precedent to set. Ending a standoff without the use of lethal force, that should be a thing. Let the criminal justice system kind of take over at that point. So yay. Of course, this comes, you know, on the heels of yet another officer involved shooting with an unarmed kind of person that was caught on video. So that's still not great. That still needs to get worked on. That's still not a thing, and hopefully will be something that gets worked on soon. So a little kind of even there with the cops. I wouldn't say it's even, actually. It's not a plus and a minus or anything, and they don't wash each other out. So interesting, but certainly requires more scrutiny. Kind of in that vein of certainly requires more scrutiny is Wells Fargo Bank, and their CEO was just yelled at heavily by Elizabeth Warren and others on the Senate floor today because of a scandal where it was uncovered that something like 2 million fake accounts were created at Wells Fargo over 2 years. And they announced that account managers and tellers and people that have access to account data were given very aggressive sales quotas. And rather than try and meet those sales quotas, or rather, I guess they did meet their sales quotas, but they met them by signing people up for accounts that they did not sign up for and signing up fake accounts to the tune of 2 million fake accounts. And over that time, Wells Fargo did find out about it and then eventually fired something like 5,300 employees. Kind of the other thing that's coming out of it in the investigation is that all of those people that were fired were not executives. So that's kind of bad.
That
probably
seems like the kind of thing that 5,300 people don't come up with independently. That right. Seems like that would come from higher up.
Yeah, yeah. Or certainly the culture of the competitiveness and the, I guess, blind eye of no one doing anything about it is certainly something that allowed that to happen, and that's going to get a lot of pushback, especially because, you know, making those sales numbers probably were things that trickled up into being making targets for earnings and things like that. As Wells Fargo is a publicly traded company, not only are they defrauding all the people that bank with Wells Fargo, they're also defrauding any investors that are there, and that probably echoes back into the economic system as a whole. You know, are the banks really doing that well if people are making fake accounts and things? Probably not.
Quite amount of Wells Fargo customer.
Yeah.
If you are, you should probably switch.
You should at least take a look at what your accounts are doing. That should be a thing. It's unfortunate, but like kind of personal kind of fraud monitoring and identity theft monitoring is a thing. You have to kind of be vigilant about that. As much as the banks will do that for you, when the banks are also being indicted about making fake accounts and stuff like that, it is kind of incumbent upon you to at least look at your statement once in a while. But yes, Wells Fargo, fake accounts, not a thing. Hopefully that gets, like I said, a lot more scrutiny. It's certainly getting scrutiny on Capitol Hill. It'll be interesting to see if that translates into any new practices, and also if those practices are happening at any other banks. It's not. It seems too widespread for something like that to just be common. But yeah, we're gonna move very laterally into a different different space here. Not exactly fraud, but sort of identity theft-ish, or at least information theft. We've talked a bit about the Internet of Things, and this is certainly a thing, but not a thing that I would have expected to be on the show this week. But a woman is suing the WeVibe company. They make vibrators and dildos of all kinds, sex toys, and they apparently make one that has an app that controls it, and you can set speeds and patterns and all sorts of things on it. And apparently the app not only controls the sex toy, it also reports back to the company usage data. She was able to enlist some researchers in kind of figuring out what data was being transmitted. I assume they had to, like kind of figure or kind of monitor the internet traffic that was coming from the devices. It's very interesting how this all came about, but the researchers said that it is not only transmitting kind of usage dates and times, but also pulling GPS location. And so you can tell all the places that this this woman used this sex toy. Certainly information that is probably personal and probably not expected to be transmitted out to the internet. But this is the new understanding of the Internet of Things, is that not only do you have to be kind of cognizant of where your data goes, you have to be cognizant of where all of the stuff in your house and all of the data it knows about, where does that data go? And this is a growing thing that we've talked about on the show a lot. I think it maybe the biggest thing was the that TV, the smart TV that listens to you all the time in order to determine when it's going to turn on. So everything that you say is quietly being transmitted to a server at Samsung and analyzed for if it's being if it's turning on or whatever the commands are. You know, it's a quietly growing thing. Interestingly enough, this is something that was not only exposed by this woman, but she's actually suing them for invasion of privacy and a lot more kind of stuff. So A, sex toys are a thing. B, sex toys that sell you out, not a thing. So we'll see what data comes from that. I don't know. I don't know if do I really need a sex toy that is app controlled?
Well, you might not, but someone does.
My needs are very simple, maybe. I'm a guy, what can I say?
That's all I need to say, Alan. Say no more. Please say no more.
Well, kind of, again, moving very, very quickly into a different, very different direction.
Far, far away.
Yes, is something that will actually be coming closer, hopefully not too close, but the Chinese Tiangong space station is falling out of the sky. Literally, their orbit is decaying. They the the Chinese Space Agency released in a report this week that they haven't been using it. It's been essentially dormant, or they say it's been dormant for 2 years. But the kind of space modules that they left up to act as a space station has been in an orbit that's been slowly decaying, and they think that it will become critical and end up burning up in the atmosphere sometime next year, which I think is real soon. That's I guess the orbit decays really quickly. It does orbit, I believe, on a at least daily basis, so that makes sense, right? Every cycle you're losing, you know, a little bit, that adds up. That's how gravity works. It's one of those.
And normally when satellites or space stations are done with their use and are going to be falling out of the sky, they control that fall so that it goes where there's not people.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have control of the station anymore. They lost control. So it could fall anywhere.
Right, right. The hope is that because it's such a slow, or it's a slow enough decay, they've figured out what the rate of decay is. And I'm sure now that they've announced it, I'm sure a lot more people are going to be looking at it to make sure that this is the case. But the rate of decay, they can do the math to figure out what the angle is when it starts hitting enough atmosphere that it starts to burn up. And in theory, it will break up completely before it hits the ground. I don't know. I think I'd love for more folks to check the math on that. I think that's probably a good idea. We need to pull a gravity and then like launch something up to it to move it, or otherwise
that thing's coming down.
Yeah. Yeah.
My hope is that it hits something important, but that it doesn't hurt anybody.
At least be caught on video.
Like, what if it like corrects the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Well, Australia again.
there's all sorts of fun places for the for it to fall, and I'm sure that'll make for some interesting.
Maybe it'll hit Donald Trump. Hit Trump Tower when nobody's there.
Right. Or maybe one of his hotels where people.
Ooh, a golf course. One of his golf courses.
Oh, his university.
That doesn't exist.
Yes, exactly. What does exist is some stuff that's come out, some announcements that have come out from the Photokina convention. It's, as you can imagine, a photography and camera convention. There's been a lot of buzz around some new digital medium format cameras, like in the, like, these are cameras that are in the, like, the 50 megapixel range, which is just, I don't even, that's fantastic. In with cameras and camera sensors getting bigger, the need for storage of that data is still really high, and it doesn't all go to the cloud, not yet. At least that's what SanDisk is banking on. They announced a prototype 1 terabyte SD card, which is just crazy. That's real big. If you're not sure,
you could fill that pretty quickly.
I think my laptop is 900 gigabytes because I back it up to a terabyte or 2 terabyte drive, like traditional drive with magnets and everything else. But solid state memory, that's a thing. It's probably going to be real expensive. I think the current offering from SanDisk, the current biggest offering is the next Power of 2 down. It's like 512 gig, and that's $350. So if they do even if they do just kind of regular math, which I'm sure they don't do, but if they do regular math and they make it twice the price, that's $700 for a memory card. But I guess if you need it, I would just buy...
Well, if you've got a 4K camera...
Yeah.
You're going to want it.
Right. Or if you have those fancy 8K cameras that they're supposedly going to use for the next Olympics, or at least the Olympics in Japan, as we talked about in an insert episode here. That's so much data. And then you still have to back it up.
Always back up.
Yes. Backups, so important. Definitely a thing. If you don't have backups, please go get backups. Find someone that will help you get backups. It's a good thing. moving kind of in the cloud, but it's staying in the vein of the internet. Twitter has announced, or rather, they are making good on an announcement they made a while ago. They were announcing that they were changing their character limit, and it made kind of a stir because the initial rumor was that they were going to allow tweets up to I think it was 10,000 characters, up from their current limit of 140, which they've had really since they've started with Twitter. And they've said that it's still 140, but they are changing some things. So when you mention another Twitter user, or if you paste or if you're using a link, or rather not a link but a photo or a poll, which I think is a Twitter thing, which I've never used, and or if you're retweeting someone or quoting that tweet, that those characters don't matter, but it still counts if you use a link, which is a little annoying because that's the majority of what I tweet is something with a link. But I don't know. I don't think they're really making the case for using Twitter by playing with that character limit in what little they are doing. I mean, even if they did make the Twitter limit, 10,000, or if they don't make the Twitter limit 10,000, they still have a lot of fundamental issues that Twitter is still not addressing. Like the big one is still that getting kind of harassed on Twitter is still a problem. It's something that I think Instagram filled in some cool tools for, and Twitter just has ignored it kind of wholesale. That would be a thing. Tweaking the character limit is still kind of not a thing. So we'll see. I think we've talked about Twitter's kind of slowly decaying orbit, actually.
Yeah, right.
By changing their stance on how photos work, and then adding stickers to photos, which I still have no use for. And then
I hopped on Twitter for the first time in about 6 months, and it looks like I haven't missed anything.
I still like Twitter. I like the people that I interact with on Twitter. I've had almost no bad interactions on Twitter, thankfully. But
I'm just gonna start trolling you on Twitter.
Certainly a thing.
We'll test out their harassment policy.
But yeah, Twitter, I think it could be a thing. They've had a lot of opportunities to kind of make themselves stand out from the crowd, and instead they seem to be doing a lot of things that make themselves more like the rest of the other companies that are in the social media space. I mean, they sort of started it. I wouldn't say they started it, but they were one of the first ones. And now they seem to just be kind of like everybody else. They really have to kind of step it up and make themselves interesting. Or go away. As these things go on the internet, sometimes it's sometimes one or the other. So moving out to not only what people are tweeting, but why they're tweeting it or why they're even saying it. There's some new research and tools going into the art of reading a person's emotional state. And some researchers have figured out that if they can pick up on your heart rate and your breathing rate, and then establish a baseline for certain emotional responses, that they can guess your emotional state with their number was something like an 87% accuracy. I think that's an oddly specific number. I'm not sure what ratio that is. I don't have the math in my head to know what 87% is, kind of roughly. But apparently
that's the same accuracy as an ECG.
Oh, And people, trust those mostly. I mean, that's what it's doing. It's essentially watching for your heart rate. What's really novel about this is that it's wireless. So not only are they doing, are they monitoring heart rate and breathing rate, but they're doing it without attaching anything, and they are using essentially a very low power radar that is continually scanning and then looking for the changes in how just what the electrical impulses that come from your body, from your heart when it's beating, and then also by how much your body moves when you breathe. And what's really novel about this is that the system that they have will not only do this with individuals, it can do this in a group. So if there's a few people in a room, it can figure out, because breathing and heart rates tend to be within a particular range for any one person. They don't vary, or at least hopefully not, otherwise then you might be having a heart attack. But generally the heartbeats are distinct enough, because the rates can be different enough, that it will sort them by and then kind of separate them out, and then be able to tell the emotional state of multiple people in a room at the same time. This is really interesting and creepy. Let's not forget, they're reading the emotional state of a room of people. Their use cases involve like crowd monitoring and telling when people are having are reacting to something.
So is this like a riot detector?
It might be. I don't know if you really need a system to do that. I think you can just see that. It doesn't. They don't go so far as to say they can use it like a wireless polygraph, but it almost is saying that. They're saying that they can read a person's emotion without them articulating it. I think that. That can be used in all sorts of ways. I would love to hear more about how it's used, and ideally it's being used in a way that it's being used and not just quietly recording that information and then using it to sell me something. That's really the thing I'm trying to avoid. But I think when they get the kind of deep-seated vitriolic anger that comes from when a website pops up starts playing sound at you right away, they don't need a very sophisticated system to tell that I absolutely hate that. But maybe it's more nuanced than that is, hopefully. Kind of moving off But still kind of in an angry direction, the army is testing a new grenade. I guess grenades haven't changed that much. I still think of grenades from when I was a kid and watching like G.I. Joe and everything else as those little things that they look like pineapples with a little handle on one side and you pull the pin and then you kind of throw them. And whenever you throw them, they always seem to throw them in this weird like arcing overhand thing, and never kind of like a baseball, which I feel like would be more effective, at least from a distance point of view. But in any case, that's actually not the current form of grenades anymore. The current form of grenades is more kind of actually baseball like, spherical with the little handle or spoon, as it's called, for when you the pulling the pin actually doesn't affect anything. It's when you let go of that little spring-loaded clip that starts the timer on it, and it's a mechanical fuse. And oddly enough, I didn't know this, but because of the way the handle is on it, it's actually not ambidextrous. So if you're a lefty, when you throw a grenade, you have to flip it upside down in order to hold it correctly for the spoon to release when you throw it, which I found really surprising, I guess.
Well, they solved that.
Yeah. So the new grenade not only is ambidextrous, you can also choose if you want it to be a concussion grenade or a fragmentation grenade. Which I think I just think that's fantastic that you can do that. I don't know enough about grenades to know which is which. other than I would love for them to send us samples for us to play with on the Not a Thing podcast. # sample grenades.
Yeah. And this new grenade also will have an electronic fuse.
Yes. It's supposedly less prone to failure, which you really don't want. Not only do you not want a grenade that you throw that doesn't blow up, you don't want a grenade that just blows up on its own. there's problems on both ends of that. So yeah, new grenades, technology marches on with technology for blowing things up. Kind of staying in the technology for blowing things up is something that it's a little more attainable, a little more maybe even a little more useful than sending us #sample grenades. But we'll see. I'd love one of these too. A company has released they have a prototype anyway of a device that you can put in place in a and it will scan for mosquitoes, and it does this with some form of radar, and then it has a laser which can shoot them out of the sky, it's the mirrors on it and everything that can direct the laser are not kind of mechanical, or they probably are mechanically oriented, but it will supposedly do something like 30 in a second. And not only can they do that, they can also put it on a little tank that can drive around and patrol and shoot at, mosquitoes out of the air, you know, 30 times a second.
Yeah, it's actually got the two lasers, because it's got the LiDAR that like a Roomba has for navigating.
Okay.
And it uses that to detect the mosquitoes, mm-hmm. and then has another laser that's designed to kill the mosquitoes.
Oh, this is a thing.
I mean, I never thought I would support a laser-killing robot, but I hate mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Everybody hates mosquitoes.
Yeah. As long as it can discern between different flying things, I'm okay with this. I'm on board with this. I think there was a mosquito interdiction thing that happened recently and ended up killing like a whole lot of bees, which is bad because
it's not what you want.
Bees are good. I think if it can kill mosquitoes, and I'd be happy if it extended to kill, just say wasps. Let's just say wasps also, because I hate those guys.
But, what's wrong with white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, Alan?
Hornets, then. But yes.
What's wrong with Charlotte, North Carolina? What do you have against basketball?
But killing mosquitoes for sure with lasers is fine. We've talked about it on the show in the past that there were some other ways to stop the spread of mosquitoes, genetically altering them to be sterile, I think was one of the ones that we'd talked about in insert episode here. And you know, when you can't make them sterile, shoot them out of the sky with lasers. That's a thing.
Kill the bugs.
I think the world could stand, you know, a few less mosquitoes. Let's not kill them all, but certainly while we're trying to figure out what communicable diseases can come from mosquitoes, you know, I think a little bit of lasers is fine.
Maybe we could genetically engineer a bug that doesn't bite people but still provides food for fish. So like, that's pretty much they're there to be food. They're part of the food chain, otherwise they're just assholes.
Exactly. Yes.
Maybe like a photosynthetic bug.
Right, we just need to create we'll insert food chain substitutes for all the things that suck
that we want to eradicate.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to throw off the food chain.
Oh no, and there's no, you know.
But, you know.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We would love what's a good. It's kind of like a tank, or at least the picture that they show, but it's a drawing, so I don't know if that's what it actually looks like. But mosquito laser tank? Yeah. Hashtag mosquito laser tank.
I'll take a grenade.
Yeah. Yeah, if we had to choose, it would be fun either way, is what we're trying to say.
Why not both?
The Not a Thing podcast is welcomes all sponsorships of all kinds, and especially personal sponsorships. We're still looking for our first one after 202 episodes. We're still looking for one. We will gladly say whatever needs to be said about your product or service. Hashtag reptilian overlords. But to bring back one from a while ago. But we're still going strong. We're looking to have kind of more guests on the show, sponsored or not. We're happy to be up and recording it. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, or if you'd like to participate in any way, maybe give us a story that you think is a thing or not a thing. Let us know via Twitter. Especially now that you can do it without the Not a Thing Cast handle interfering in your character count, or let us know on Facebook. If you somehow know our Google Plus, feel free to let us know there. I'm not even sure if
I know. And then Google let Plus us know what it is, because yeah. I don't remember.
But or go to the website and let the HAL 900 know, and it will forward that information along to us. Yeah, it'd be great to have you on the show in any fashion, or just listen to us, because we're still happy to record now that we're back to full strength. I think this was a good show. I think it worked out.
We did it.
You could probably do a few more of these. We'll see.
We've had enough practice.
Excellent. Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.